Recently, we had a 2023 GMC Sierra, 6.6 liter Duramax, and a 10-01000 come into the shop with a P0747. P0747 indicates that shift solenoid 1 was stuck on. This has been a major discussion throughout every aspect of the industry. There's a lot of fixes that are out there, but there's a lot of people that are still under powertrain warranty that can't get their vehicles fixed because of backorder status to the valve bodies. This customer had 60,000 miles on the truck, and I will tell you now that it's fixed. We put 150 miles on it after doing this repair, and the customer is extremely happy and back on the road. But also at the same time, we found out some information that GM just released. Technical Service Bulletin 25NA158 will instruct the technician that has a vehicle of the 21 through 24 that have a 6.6 liter Duramax or a 6.6 liter gas and a 10L1000 that comes in with a P0747 to remove the pan, inspect for clutch debris, and if nothing is found, then to remove the valve body and install an updated steel low limit feed valve and spring. At this time, I believe it will reduce the fact of people having their vehicles down, but unfortunately this customer was willing to pay money out of pocket to get his truck back on the road. So this video is going to highlight the root cause and an explanation as to why this is happening. 10L1000 valve body has been a major discussion throughout the entire automotive industry as well as to the consumers. This valve body has roughly 60,000 miles on it and has set a P0747 shift solenoid 1 stuck on. During valve body removal, minor amounts of debris were found within the pan, no signs of odor from the fluid stating that it got hot or there's internal distress, but do note that looks can be deceiving. I've already taken the liberty to disassemble, clean, and inspect for sticking valves and reassembled along with vacuum testing. And the only thing that I can find wrong is the feed limit low valve. Fails vacuum testing. Spent many hours studying hydraulics on this particular unit to understand why the feed limit low valve is so important, and I'm going to share that with you today. With the engine running and the transmission in the park position, shift solenoid B and D are commanded on. And the following changes occur in the transmission hydraulic and electrical systems. The default disable solenoid is energized on, allowing signal on-off pressure. Default disable solenoid is energized on, allowing feed limit low fluid to enter on-off signal fluid circuit. On-off signal fluid is directed to the default enable valve ball, check valve number 1. The default solenoid controls the default and enable valve, which controls the system to pressurize clutches through their exhaust ports to hold either gear in a power loss situation. The default disable solenoid has to be on to keep out of default. Default in reverse gives reverse, while default in drive gives seventh gear initially. The vehicle will restart in second gear after a key cycle or a reverse drive state change, as determined by the drive select valve's latch state. Drive and reverse fluid is controlled by the manual shaft. This is the manual valve. There needs to be a minimum of 450 kPa line pressure to result in a gear under default. This is due to spring pressure of the default enable valve. In the feed limit low valve, the boost ball system uses two additional pressure circuits called feed limit low and feed limit high. This is the feed limit low valve and this is the feed limit high valve. The circuits control the pressure at which the circuit boosts to line pressure. The feed limit low circuit controls boost balls for clutches 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 reverse and 1, 2, 8, 9, 10 reverse, while the feed limit high circuit is used for clutches 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 10 and 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 10 reverse. The following is the range on the feed limit pressures at which boost can happen. Feed limit low boost range is a minimum of 662 kPa and a maximum of 825 kPa. High boost range is a minimum of 1000 kPa to a maximum of 1252 kPa. So we take a look at the hydraulics of where line pressure comes into the feed limit low valve. It is then metered to signal on-off fluid. Line pressure enters the feed limit low valve here, and you have signal on-off fluid in two areas of the valve body. Where the bore on the feed limit low valve is worn right here, and just give me just 1 second, I'm going to turn the vacuum tester on and show you exactly what I'm talking about. Make sure we are calibrated to 25 inches of vacuum. Some people say inches of mercury. We're going to go to the test port that we're going to place the vacuum tester right here in this cavity. On the back side of the cavity is exhaust, so we need to block the back side to test the valve for any wear or pressure loss. Place it here, lift the valve body, and block the orifice. We are showing less than 15 inches of vacuum. We need more than 18 inches of vacuum for the AFL valve, which in this case, it is an AFL valve. You have a low pressure AFL, which is feed limit low, and high AFL is the feed limit high valve. The feed limit high valve has a section that needs to be tested that's right here. It also has a port on the back side that you need to block. You see the difference in it? We have 1, 2, 3. We have 22 inches of vacuum. That is a healthy state for the feed limit high valve. I reiterate again that the feed limit low valve is worn directly on the exhaust side. The way this valve works is if the line pressure gets too high, bleeding over to signal on-off pressure, the feed limit low valve will regulate that pressure and allows it to exhaust. The wear in this bore is creating a direct line pressure signal on-off pressure bleed, which can cause the default enable valve and the drive default select valve to have insufficient pressure against spring pressure, which will send the transmission into default. It can also cause incorrect shift patterns, tie-ups, flares, and it can also reduce the amount of lube and converter clutch control. The repair for this valve body I'm going to use is the Sonix Feed Limit Low Valve Kit part number 10-5740-54K. And this kit includes a new spring, a new valve, and sleeve along with a locking retainer. Take and remove the feed limit low valve setup from the valve body. You have a retainer, a spring, and the valve. Even visually, when I placed this valve after cleaning everything up directly into the bore, I could sit here and just rock. And even if we look visually, we can see signs of wear on the valve itself. I'm going to place this to the side and the retainer. We're going to remove everything out. Also supplied in this kit is a 63/1000 drill bit that we're going to use to change and block off balance hole. Separator plate modifications are required because this valve line setup changes how balance oil is used by a metered orifice in the center of the valve that exhausts to the end of the valve instead of balance oil pushing directly down at the end of the valve. Set the plate to the side, set the valve body to the side. We're going to work right here so we don't get any shavings or anything inside the valve body while we do this. Now, the orifice that we're going to look for on the valve body that we need to oversize and put a block in it, because we're going to cap this off, is right here. I'm also going to show this on the screen directly from Sonix as of where you're going to find it. It looks like a view that's like this, except when you lay it down, just so you can see and understand that this is exactly how the separator plate is supposed to look like when you're looking at it directly at the page. I'm going to take and drill out the orifice, remove our shavings from our work area. I do not want any metal debris whatsoever in the valve body. At this point, there's an aluminum plug that's going to be peened into it, and then you cut a section off of the other side and take it over to a vise, a ball peen hammer, and peen both sections, and make sure that you're not covering up any worm track channels when you do so, because we don't want any bleed overs. And it is very close to two sections. Very tiny. I'm going to have to deburr it just a little bit more. All right, now we'll install the plug into the separator plate. Oh Lord, this is so tedious. There, just like that. We're going to take and flip it over, and you're going to see a long stem. So we don't need all of that. I'm going to take a set of dykes, and I'm going to cut down about just half of it. Get a little bit off. Take it over to the vise and peen it with a hammer. If you take a look at the separator plate where I've pressed in the little piece of aluminum, covering up any sections that would be around the gasket to cause a bleed over that you could probably tell in between where the worm tracks are and lining, so you don't make an error mistake if you're going to do this yourself as well, because there's a lot of us that do these repairs in the field. I'll set the separator plate to the side, and I'm going to pull the valve body back over. The first thing that I'm going to do is install the valve and sleeve with the notches faced to the side. If I take and face them to the side, that's where we're going to take and put our retainer back on the back end so the sleeve does not come out of position and it stays exactly where it needs to be. So when we install the sleeve, there are two notches that are going to be at the end that we need to have faced up. So when we put the retainer down in, it holds the sleeve and does not allow it to shift. Install it into the valve body all the way down. May have to move it just slightly so I can get the retainer in. Make sure we're faced up and down. Then we're going to install the retainer just as such, and then install in our spring retainer. We'll take and use a 9mm socket to press the spring all the way in until I can grab the outside and then focus getting it right back on. This will aid drastically during installation. Here we look all the way down, and it's all the way in. And that's all we do. And at this point, we'll put the check balls back in the separator plate and put all our bolts in. At this time, we can reinstall all of our check balls. 1, 2, 3, 4. Move this valve body back out of the way, and we will have number 5. At this point, we're going to take and put the separator plate on and install it. See where we're going to line up today. Here we go. Now, this does have dowel pins that do line up on this side. But the separator plate has to go on to the solenoid control valve body side first before we install it to this side. So basically, I'm just putting the check balls in place, set this over to the side, take the solenoid valve body with all your other check balls that are already installed, which I've already taken the liberty to do that because there's nothing wrong with this section of the valve body. But just to let you know, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 check balls in this area. Take the separator plate and we'll install it into this section. Install our alignment bolts for the gasket. Do note that when you do tighten it down, that make sure that you look over all of where the bolt holes are and alignment, because it's not directly 100% perfect. Otherwise, you can't put the other valve body section on top of this one when you try to put it together, because it'll be slightly offset. I hand screw those down right quick, and then I'm going to position exactly where I need to, because there are alignment holes here and here. If not, the dowel pins do not go straight through, then it won't line up and it'll be just offset. So those are the two reference points that you need to make. Make sure that all the holes are lined up and in position. I barely need to move this one over. I believe we look good in alignment. Now, valve body bolts, all the screws, even valve body to case are 80 inch pounds. Set that and torque this 10, this T30 screw. All right, we'll set that to the side. We'll place our other valve body section. We'll take and put this on top of the other valve body section at this point. And don't worry about these two other springs. They go to something else. I was trying to make some measurements. So we'll take the valve body. We will install the solenoid control side. Sure we do not lose any check balls. And we'll install it on the other section. Just fall right down. A little offset here. Maybe I need to adjust. Nope. Is because one side's down further than the other. It's got to go level and even. Or maybe the alignment is off to the roll pin. We do not want to force it. Take it back apart. We'll try this one more time. I wish there was a better alignment procedure for this. Maybe some... What I'm going to do is I'm going to find something to align that with. Take this right back off. Let me see if I can find some roll pins that are the exact diameter. Let's see. Diameter of the roll pin, approximately 237 thousandths. Well, I found some 10mm aluminum plugs. These are the eTorx Plus that goes in an 8L90 for feed sensors and such. So I wonder if I can use this to realign. It's just a hair off, but it'll get us close. We're still going to have to come down. You're not going to work just right there and over just right there. We're going to try this one more time. Make sure we do not shift anything in the process. Set this valve body to the side.
Place this one back where it was.
This out of my way. And take and install the valve body one more time. It should fall down just like that, all the way. So I went ahead and had the liberty to put everything together. And do note that there's not a lot of service information that's out there. But most of the service information for valve body bolts are there. But the clock position of the solenoids is one thing that I'm going to show you. This is the side that faces the case directly up into the transmission. The connectors for all of the solenoids should be facing up towards the case, not towards this side. It would be down towards the pan. So with the state of this valve body in good condition, with only this one valve being worn out at such low mileage, to get the customer back on the road, understanding that he still has powertrain coverage, However, once we're able to resolve pressure loss in the valve body, we still need to determine if internal failure to the transmission has happened. Like I said, just because the pan looks clean and the fluid does not smell burnt does not mean it's not hurt. At that point, I'm going to make a recommendation to the consumer if he wants to proceed any further with us and completely void his warranty or take it back to the dealer and do everything with the manufacturer. That would be his discussion. But at that point, if he does decide to do anything with this, we'll take the whole unit out. I'll show you guys exactly what got hurt in the transmission. And we'll go over some more valve body modifications that Suncoast and others are using.